Welcome to the latest episode of the Custom Private Equity Podcast, Commercial Real Estate Opportunities Today. Today we will talk with Paul Anthony Thomas, the principal at CustomPrivateEquity.com. I'm Ron Davis, experienced podcaster, and I'll be asking all the newbie questions. How are you doing today, Paul?
Doing great, Ron. Thanks for being here today. How are you?
I am good, even in these weird times. But we're going to talk about commercial real estate today. So what type of opportunities are you seeing in the real estate markets?
Well, COVID, the COVID disaster has actually accelerated our opportunities in the commercial real estate marketplace. I have a team of people that we work in the office space. We work in hospitality. My team of brokers, we analyze warehouse and industrial deals all day long. Retail, we're developing a little retail for some. That's a really strong market for us. Medical, multifamily. We kind of do the entire range of brokerage and development opportunities. But the best of all in the world, if you analyze them and look at the cash flows and look at the risk and look at how easy they are to operate and the amount of manpower they take to operate, self-storage is by far the best place to be in today's market. Self-storage and then upscale RV park development is another great place. So those are two kind of zebras of the same stripe in the world of commercial real estate. RVs are in huge demand today, and nice RV parks are very strong. With the downturn in the marketplace and even during regular market cycles and market times, self-storage is always good and has been historically good for the last 30 years. And we love both of those sectors.
So I don't know anything about self-storage facilities. And I think a lot of people do. You know, it's one of those things that is there and it's everywhere. But nobody really thinks about those when they're talking about doing real estate. What does it cost to do a self-storage unit? And what are your ongoing costs?
Well, the ongoing costs are relatively low compared to running an apartment complex. Mm-hmm. Anything that has toilets and dishwashers and things like kitchens and things like that is going to be high maintenance type items, whereas the self-storage, it really is pretty low maintenance and mm-hmm. relatively easy to build. Compared to an apartment complex, it's inexpensive to build and our rents are as much or more. So that's an important factor for us is, are you going to be able to get really highest and best use rents out of a property? Rule number one that we use is you want to be buying or building when everybody else is in distress. Well, in today's world, the COVID-19 debacle, everybody's in distress. And it's been in the self-storage world, a lot of people are losing their jobs or having to move out of their homes, and they need a place to put their stuff until they can recover. Self-storage is the perfect option for that. This distress has caused our opportunities to expand exponentially. In several of our sectors, we're busier today than we've ever been. We've been through, historically been through pandemics in the past, and the world works its way out of it, and it's not going to last forever, and we're going to be back to normal or something similar to the new normal. An example of that is that we went by Walmart's parking lots today here in our hometown, and there were 750 cars in the parking lot. The parking lots were both full in both Walmarts here in Abilene. So things are turning around, things are moving up, and but still people are being laid off, and still people are the government subsidies have stopped for now, and they're, I watched several news stories last night about people being interviewed that they're out of money and they can't pay their rent. An example of how this works is I have an associate that lives over in Fort Worth, and his father took $1 million of their life savings back in 1990, right in the heart of the Resolution Trust Corporation days. And he invested that $1 million in some Fort Worth real estate, you know, down around the stockyards. And after the Resolution Trust was over with, those properties were returning him $1 million a month. So they were returning him his equity investment every month. So this is the kind of opportunities we're looking at today. If we buy certain pieces of real estate, develop certain pieces of real estate, we're going to expect over the next few years for those things to return us significant double-digit returns for a decade or more. So and those will pay for themselves in a matter of 2 or 3 years. So that's the types of opportunities we're looking at.
So what does it cost to build a self-storage facility?
So our average cost on a self-storage facility is right at $100 a foot, which most of our facilities is about $10.5 million, somewhere between $10 and $11 million. $100 a square foot in today's market. Used to be $30 a foot back when we were building back in 2007. But yeah, things have changed. The market's changed. It's more of a builder's market. Actually, that price has come down from $100 a foot to about $97 a foot over the last 90 days. So we stay on top of those markets, and you know, we're hoping to take advantage of that discount a little bit as well.
What is a land bank, and how does that work?
So a land bank is just like a normal bank is a bank that you'd put cash in. A land bank is a place where you would hold land. So a lot of developers will go out and they'll buy raw land in front of development. Like in North Dallas, you'd go buy raw land in Plano or north of Plano up in Richland Hills, and north of Fort Worth in Richland Hills. You'd go buy North Richland Hills up around Alliance Airport. We have a land bank opportunity going on right now in an area called Trinity Grove. We're trying to raise some capital to go land bank some land in Trinity Grove, because that's going to be the next uptown part of Dallas. In 1986, when Carolyn Hunt built the Crescent Hotel complex, she bought that land for $7 a foot in 1986. Today, that land sells for $125 a foot. We expect that the same thing to happen in the Trinity Grove area over the next 20 years. We like those returns. We actually won't build or buy a property unless we feel like we can make at least 20% of our money every year off that property. So that's kind of our hurdle rate for commercial real estate. Self-storage meets that hurdle rate pretty well. Land banking meets that hurdle rate exceptionally well if you get in the right place. Utility ownership and raw land development was another area niche where we like to work. People who buy raw land from us, raw land developments from us, usually allow us to double our money in 12 to 18 months. So that meets our 20% threshold as well.
So I know that RVing is just having something of a renaissance right now. And a lot of people are going to that. And then, of course, the economic issues of COVID and that kind of thing have made RVs more attractive to people in general. So what about RV parks? You mentioned them a little at the beginning, but is that an investment that you guys are bullish on?
Yes, very much so. RV parks are a tremendous investment in today's world. With the aging of the population, I have a man who moved into a slot that I own. He's going to pay me $300 a month for the next, until he passes away. He's 80 years old. He's going to live in an RV for the next 10 years or at least. You know, he's not in bad health. So so the people are flocking to RVs. I've talked to probably a dozen people in the last month that have had to move out of their nice homes, brick homes, because they lost their jobs and they bought mobile homes and putting them out in the country on mobile home areas, mobile home parks. RVs are the same type situation. We first developed our first mobile home park in the mid-80s, back in down around Austin. We've developed several since then. They're great cash cows and great money makers. We don't own any right now, but we have developed them in the past. And we developed some here in West Texas that did real well for us. Great investments. Those are the types of investments we like to get into.
Yeah, and I know RVing is kind of that's that millennial digital nomad lifestyle. In the past, RVs have been considered old people going and RVing. You know, people who retire and go doing it. But now, in a workforce that is ever more remote, which is something that I believe is a trend that's going to continue, that we're going to see a lot more remote. It was already starting, and COVID just showed us the possibilities of it. And a lot of those people don't want to live in one place. And the way they do it is they buy an RV or one of these camper vans, and they go live in that for a long period of time. So the idea of having an RV park, it should be a growth kind of business.
Right. We have an associate here in town that built an RV. They're from Fort Worth. They built an RV park here in town. It's had 80% occupancy since it opened. They're making a killing on it. They're probably doubling their money every 2 years. Tremendous, tremendous investments. And we have some land available for that today. If we had some little capital in our pocket, we'd actually be going and doing some of that. So
what does it cost to start an RV park?
They had invested, I think they have 150 spaces, and they probably invested about $2 million. So they're knocking it out of the park right now. They're leasing those spaces for $600 a piece, and they've expanded the park to 250 spaces. So you can do the calculations on that, but they're knocking home runs every month on that stuff. So
yeah.
We have about a 40-acre tract of land that's a wooded tract that we'd like to build an RV park in, near, not far from that one. The interesting thing between theirs and ours is in a wooded area, and theirs is up in an open area with no trees. So we think ours will maintain better occupancy than theirs. And if they're occupied at 80% and we do better than that, we're going to knock a home run as well. So,
yeah, and again, like the self-storage units, there's not a lot of overhead that you have to keep up with once you built the place. There aren't dishwashers and toilets, or are there toilets?
That's right.
There's like something like a toilet. Like you have to let other people empty their toilets, but you don't have to run the toilet themselves.
Right.
People bring their own toilets to an RV park.
Right.
So you're seeing a lot of opportunities. Any final words on opportunities in real estate in late 2020?
Well, in our current platform of self-storage, we have 4 sites identified. We have 1 site bought, 4 sites identified, and 10 areas of interest in the Houston, Greater Houston MSA, going up towards Austin and going up towards Waco. So we cover the southeastern part of Texas in that arena. Our brokerage team that we have is very well versed in that area. They know the area like the back of their hand. They've been working in it for well over 20 years, and we're very excited about the opportunities, and it's a tremendous time to be in that part of the world and doing those types of things.
All right. If you want more information about today's topic, go to customprivateequity.com. There are a number of free resources there, as well as multiple ways to contact Paul. Once again, that URL is customprivateequity.com.